Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear saints, it is an uncomfortable feeling being lost. Think about what that feeling is like to suddenly realize that you don't know where everyone is. You're not sure how to get back to where the path is. What have I done? How did I get here, you think? I thought I knew where I was going, but now I suddenly realize I have no idea where I am or how to possibly get back. And suddenly, with a surge of adrenaline, your face flushes, your heart starts beating double time, and the panic hits. A frantic fear ties knots in your belly. Like a maniac, you desperately search this way and that way, but the reality becomes more and more clear. You are lost, and the only way out of this situation is for someone to come and to find you. Such is the case for little sheep that love to wander. And such is the case for those who are never quite satisfied with the grass on this side of the pasture. Stay here, says the voice of the shepherd. But, ooh, look at that, says the sheep. It's foolishness, no doubt about it. They know that it's dangerous to go alone, but, ooh, that grass that is over there looks so sweet. And off that one little sheep goes, a little further, a little further, slowly cauterizing his conscience until he doesn't feel the twinge of guilt for the distance between him and the rest of the flock, between himself and his shepherd. The sheep, for a little while, can still look back and remember the other flock and remember his shepherd, but then not anymore. Further and further into a spin cycle of selfishness, that sheep only thinking about that sheep, living as though the shepherd did not matter, and as if the sheep mattered most. And such is the story about the lost little sheep that Jesus came to save. But this story, it's not so much the story of the lost as much as it is the story of the finder. You see, the finder, that is Jesus, he is accused of finding the wrong ones. The finder has found the lost ones. He's welcomed tax collectors. He's welcomed sinners. Those that would sell out to the Romans and those that would even sell themselves. They're seen as the worst of the worst, the seedy underbelly of society. And the Pharisees and the scribes, they grumble about how could possibly this man who claims to be the Messiah, how could he gather with these people? And so they issue their grumble. This man receives sinners and eats with them. And so Jesus tells the parables, and in these parables, he tells the story of the finder. What man of you, Jesus says, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Now, Jesus, he opens this parable with the question that makes it seem like, well, anyone would do this, right? What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he's lost one of them, and so on? And most often when Jesus tells parables, he tells about a real-life situation with something that doesn't seem quite right. And it's often in that something that doesn't seem quite right that we learn the most about our Savior or about the way things work in the kingdom of God. And so, everyone's tracking, okay? I can imagine having some sheep and having one that wanders off. Even if you don't know the art of first century shepherding, you can imagine this much. A sheep wandering off and getting lost, that makes sense. But that is where the normal part ends. Because how would things actually go if you were the one that was searching all over the place, slopping through streams, slogging through mud, crashing through brambles? You're hot, you're frustrated, you're tired. And so, when Jesus gets to the part in this parable when the shepherd actually finds that lost sheep, well, you and I can imagine what that moment is going to be like. Certainly, there is relief to find that lost sheep, but it's not going to be a whole lot of rejoicing and certainly no free ride on the shoulders with the thorns and all of the mud dripping down grime on your back. That sheep is walking home. And no party when we get home either. But then Jesus continues a second parable. He says, "Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost.'" What woman does not do this? Jesus asks. But we might ask, what woman would do this? I'm frugal, and I don't like losing money, and I probably would search for a lost coin, and maybe you would too. But if I find that coin, I'm not going to throw a party and rejoice with all of my friends and neighbors, because parties cost money. The friends and neighbors that you invite over, they'll probably work their way through lots of food, which tells me that in celebrating the rescue of one coin, I could end up spending 3 coins more. If that's the case, it would cost this woman a lot less just to write off the lost coin and be happy with the 9. But remember, this is not so much a story about the lost, and it's not so much a story about normal life as it is about the finder, about Jesus, about the way things work in the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus is not in the flesh to give us stories and tips on ranching or shepherding or how to have a good accounting. He's in the flesh to save you. St. Paul says, "The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life." Truly, if this were a story about just this life, it would be much easier and much cheaper to just write off a lost sheep as lost. But to find it, to find that lost sheep, this shepherd goes seeking and pays with his holy, precious blood. We wrongly picture these sheep as just cute, innocent, and vulnerable creatures. Because if we do that, then we might also think of ourselves as cute, innocent, and vulnerable creatures that just are needing to be rescued and deserve to be saved. But in reality, what Scripture says about us is that we are sheep who actively leave the shepherd and plot against the shepherd and wander this way and that way into sin. And then, more often than not, when being found or called back, called to repentance, we kick and bite when the shepherd finds us and rescues us just before the wolves devour. Far from being innocent victims, we are rebellious sheep. That is the way Scripture describes us. But rather than leave you to the wolves, the shepherd, by his grace, comes and he saves you. He doesn't turn around. He doesn't get frustrated on the way and say to himself, "Oh, why am I doing this? Forget it. This miserable sinner isn't even worth it." He doesn't ask himself, "Why would I even possibly do this? Why would I give my life for someone who doesn't want anything to do with me?" No, Jesus goes to the very bitter end. He shows his love in giving his very life for us. He keeps searching for his lost sheep. Even when he had the opportunity to get out of it, even when he had the opportunity to deny everything and just walk away from his crucifixion, to say, "No, I'm not really the king of the Jews," to be set free, he didn't do this because he wanted to find you. And so Jesus got even dirtier, even messier. He took spit in his face. He took scourgings and beatings. He took the mockery and the abuse. He took the nails in his hands and his feet. He took the crucifixion. The Son of God, the only one to wear human flesh and be without sin. He took the form of condemnation reserved for common criminals, all in order to find you. All of Christ's life was dedicated to this very cause. All of human history wrapped around this very thing, that yes, Jesus, he gathers with tax collectors and sinners. He welcomes them. He eats with them. He has come to seek and to save the lost. And consider this, dear saints. When the Lord finds you, when the Lord forgives you, the angels in heaven, they don't shake their heads because he's wasting his precious time on the likes of you. No, all of heaven, we are told, rejoices when you repent, because all of heaven rejoices in the work of Christ, in his love, and in the repentance that he gives to you. And so may the rejoicing of the shepherd, first of all, may that rejoicing of our shepherd be ours when one lost sheep is found, and when our whole flock is together. And may the rejoicing of the woman be ours for her precious coin that was lost and is now found, when one who is among us is lost. May the church search and look and rejoice when that coin, that one who is lost, is found. May the joy of the angels be ours when one lost one is brought home again, because this is the work of Christ Jesus our Lord. It's the very reason that he came. This is the story of the finder. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses our human understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord to life everlasting. Amen.